morning, Sam.
Morning.
Are you going to preach?
Apparently so.
No. Right, I'm going with Pauline. She's got chocolates. Sam's going to pray for me soon.
Father, thank you for Kevin. Thank you for your word. I pray for Kevin. Thank you that he's taken the time to prepare to speak to us. I pray that you'd help him to listen to what you have to say to him and that he'd be able to communicate what you have to say to us, Father. Amen.
Bless you.
Good man.
Right.
Kevin's asked me to do the reading for this morning, and I'm reading for Luke, from Luke chapter 24 and starting at verse 13. Now that day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight."
Thank you, Susanna. So, just before we start, I just want to say, isn't it good to see young people like Sam and Becky and all the others who are just moving on with God? And Sam's a good preacher too, and it's just it's good. Becky, who's not naturally, her first aim is not to be at the front, but she came and she did it just to serve, and that's really good. She's good at talking, but doesn't want to be at the front. So, no, it's really good. We're really blessed here. We are going to look at this little passage loosely. Not too loosely, which is based on the 40 days series that we're going through at the moment. So I don't know if there are any books still left, but you can still buy it. No, but you can get it on Kindle if you want it on your Kindle. Dave Smith's 40 days post-Easter book, which you can follow day by day as a devotional. We're doing stuff on Sundays from it, and we're doing stuff on a weeknight, on a Tuesday night, so we're doing the second one. Last week's, I have to say, was really, really good on Tuesday night. Quite different, very accessible for anybody. It doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter what you know, what you don't know. It was actually, it was so good and so easy. So I would encourage you to come on Tuesday night, and in the course of this, I'll probably encourage you again. Now I'm going to see if we can follow the slides through. So I've entitled this Seeing Jesus Clearly, which is where Dave Smith comes at it from in the book. It's because the disciples on the road to Emmaus couldn't see Jesus clearly for some reason. And that's good. That's brilliant. There we go. I was wondering why they were kept from recognizing him, clearly. And this probably undermines the rest of what I'm going to say today, so we'll just have to, this is just a side issue, perhaps. But there are places in the Bible where God keeps people from seeing things fully. And I just wonder whether it was more important that they heard what he said, because it says he opened the scriptures up to them and he went through from the beginning to the end where the scriptures about him. And I wonder whether it was more important that they heard and concentrated on what he was saying rather than going, wow, this is Jesus, and, you know, and asking all sorts of questions in the head about, well, who did move the stone and so on and so forth. God just wanted them to be concentrating, listening and hearing what he was saying to them. The rest of this talk is based really as a connection from this. Is our vision blurred sometimes when it comes to Jesus? And I'm going to take some things from Dave Smith's book, and I'm going to add one more thing myself. So are there sometimes when we don't recognize him properly? There are four things which can get in the way of seeing Jesus clearly. And the first three, possibly, well, all of them, I think, apply to the disciples as they walk down this road to Emmaus. Despair, disappointment, doubt, and also not knowing him very well. Okay, and some of these things apply to us as well. I just want to look at these. Despair for these guys was real. You know, they followed Jesus around for 3 years, now it's all over. You know, it's just, I don't think they really knew where it was ever going to go, for certain, but they had hopes in their hearts, and it just had all come to an end. And, you know, just real despair. What do we do now? What's the purpose of our lives now? What's the point? Why carry on? And I was just interested, actually, I was on... You probably tell that most of this was written in the back of Susanna's car yesterday, going down to Teesside and on the way back, and then put onto a stick last night. But on the way up to meet Susanna, to go down to Teesside yesterday, I was just listening to a CD, and a song came on, which was written by this guy. Now, I don't know if anybody recognises the name at all. No? Wow, all right, you'll know the song though. Let me tell you about the man. As I tell you about the man, you'll probably remember the song. So Horatio Spafford was an American. He's a wealthy businessman, very wealthy businessman, had a lot of property in Chicago, had four daughters and a son and a wife. Or a wife. And a son and four daughters, put it that way. The son died. I don't know quite why, but his son died. Horatio Spafford was friendly with D.L. Moody and moved in those circles. He decided that it'd be a good idea. Apart from the son dying, the next thing that happened after his son died was there was a major fire in Chicago, and he lost all his money because all the property he owned was burnt to the ground. So he'd lost his property and he'd lost his son. He decided it'd be a good idea for his wife and daughters and him to take a break and go to England. And he was going to join D.L. Moody here on part of a evangelistic tour as well, and throw that in. And then last minute, some business cropped up in Chicago. So his wife and four daughters set sail, and he stayed behind, and he was going to follow on, which he did follow on. The boat they were on sank, hit another ship and sank. The four daughters were drowned, his wife survived. And she made her way to England. He followed made his way to England. As they passed the spot where the boat had sunk, have we got the song yet? Yeah, okay. He went down to his cabin and he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Okay? Though the seas, I can't remember the words exactly, billow and swell or whatever, it is well with my soul. Okay? Extreme disappointment, despair, but it is well with my soul. Because he knew his Jesus. Okay? Next one, disappointment. For these guys, they thought, we thought he was the Messiah, whatever they thought that then meant. But he obviously wasn't Messiah, because now he's dead, so that's the end of that. So disappointment, and sometimes we suffer from disappointment, don't we? Things haven't gone the way we expected. Now, actually, I've missed a slide here, which will entertain you if I can find it. So, Bren, are you on the slides there? Are you on the case? Can you go back to number three, which is knowing a bit about a person? Yeah, we'll just do this first, and then if you can go back to the next one. I'm going to put Bren in charge from now on. This is no good. Just this thing about knowing Jesus or not knowing him well enough, not helping in all of this. You can know a bit about a person and think that you know all about them, can't you? You can think you know what they would do and what they wouldn't do. Now I'm going to ask you, who went camping in the Arctic Circle in this church? Does anybody know? All right. George, your secret was almost safe. About 3 years ago, George? Yeah. George was camping in the Arctic Circle. Right? Have to say, Anne wasn't. She was kayaking down the fjord at the time. All right, and you thought you knew everything about George. You thought you had him, you know, this is George, this is who he is, this is what he does, and you just found out some new dimension to his character. You ask him about it, he'll tell you. It's quite an interesting story. So the other thing is you can have expectations about a person and they don't meet them. Right? This often happens when people get married. What are you laughing for, Carol? Have a mint. And when you find that because you didn't know them and your expectations don't match up with who they really are, you get disappointed. Right, Bren, can we go back to where we were? Right, this is it. So they thought he might have been the Messiah. Things hadn't gone the way they expected. Do we get disappointed? Do we get disappointed with Jesus sometimes? Things haven't gone the way that we wanted. They haven't gone the way you expected. We prayed for something, it didn't happen straight away, or it didn't happen the way we want. I was going to, actually I meant to ask you something, Carol. Can I mention the house at Alston or not? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I meant to ask her before. This was a disappointment for us. Years ago, we thought that God was telling us with another couple to buy a house at Alston. And it never came off. And in that, we were quite sure that we'd heard God. And it was a big disappointment, wasn't it? And I've eventually kind of resolved it that I'll find out one day, you know? but it's not worth sacrificing everything for. And sometimes I think God just takes us to places to find out what we'll do. And that's all there is to it, you know? But sometimes we can be disappointed with Jesus. Can I try the next slide, please? Next one is doubt. So, again, these guys had some serious doubts by now, didn't they? Is he the Messiah or is he not? Is he all-powerful or not? Does he care or doesn't he? Now, these last two are things that we sort of turn over sometimes. Is he powerful? Is he powerful enough? Does he care? Does he really care? Can you not see what I'm suffering, God? Can you not just do something about it? Do you really care? Can you not see what's going on in the world? Well, maybe he doesn't care. All right? Some of the things that go through our minds. Next one, please. Right, the remedy. And basically, the remedy actually is about getting to know him better. That's what it's about. So, you know, on this walk, Jesus talked to the two disciples and he explained to them thoroughly. I mean, that would have been great, wouldn't it, just to hear that from the scriptures going right through what they said about him. And I bet there was stuff that we never realized that was there yet that actually speak about who he was and what his purpose was and so on. In the scriptures, we find the full truth about who Jesus is and about what he is. And again, I'll just come back to Tuesday nights, you know. Some of this is going to be an eye-opener for some people, but it's a gentle eye-opener. It's not a challenging, deep theological night, but it's a really good night. And I would say come, because this Tuesday night you may be one of your normal off nights, as it were, or not planning to be here for anything. But I would say make this a priority. It's really, really good. It's not because I'm doing it. you can bring some fruit with you to throw just in case. But it is good. The second thing is to welcome his presence. And you know, at the end of the walk, they said, and this was the turning point where they actually began to see who he was, and they said to Jesus, stay with us for the night. Okay? Welcome his presence. And this is all about, for us, is about welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit and allowing Jesus just to be with us. And I heard something this week from R.T. Kendall. R.T. Kendall's written a very good book called The Word and the Spirit. And I have a feeling it's in the book, but I heard him actually say it. It was on a DVD. And he said this, and this is because we get this kind of split between the Word and the Spirit sometimes, and we go all for one or all for the other. And he said, when you get a divorce, some children go with the father and some with the mother. And some will do what the father does and some will do what the mother does. And in the church, there's been a divorce between the Word and the Spirit. I'm sorry, Becky, if this is too much to to translate. And some people have gone all for the Word, and some people have gone all for the Spirit. And sometimes people go for one or the other, you know? And actually, it needs to come back together. And this is the thing that Smith Wigglesworth was talking about. When the Word and the Spirit come together, there will be a big move of God. And this is what we're about here. Okay? The third thing is about being in community. You know, they said to Jesus, these two guys, come back, stay with us, and then they broke bread together. And at that point, God allowed them to recognize who he was. And there is really a big value in us working out together our faith together. So these guys that came out the front this morning, we prayed for them. We're not expecting them to go off and just be little Christians on their own and just sort of come in here on Sunday for a quick check and that's it, you know. We work it out together as family. Something else that I heard this week, which actually came up again yesterday, just about the Trinity, you know. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you ever read The Pleasures of God? Anybody? Have you heard of The Pleasures of God? All right, brilliant little book. Well, it's not little, I lied. It's a thick book, but it is a brilliant book. And it deals a lot with the Trinity and how the Father and the Son and the Spirit relate to each other. And just in that, there's one truth. None of them ever did anything alone. All right? Everything they've done together. Okay? So there's no reason why we should suddenly say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. I can do it alone now. All right? There's a need for us to do stuff in community. Could we try the next one, Bren? Very good. Now, just come on to this whole issue of not knowing Jesus not very well. Stemming back this thing about not knowing George very well and knowing his camping exploits and all this. There's something about Sheila as well. I can't remember what it is. You ask Sheila afterwards, there's something in her life that's really, really interesting. I can't remember what it is for me. Yeah, just keep pushing, you know, get it all. No, there is. Anyway, come back to this thing about not knowing Jesus very well. They actually didn't know him very well. They spent 3 years with him. They'd heard a lot from him. They'd seen him do a lot of stuff. They'd spent a lot of time with him. But in some ways, they didn't know him that well. If you only know Jesus, if your only experience of him is inside the church and just in a like a what I call your personal sort of private life with Jesus, and if that's all you know, then actually you don't know him very well, because there's a whole public face that you're missing. Right now, we're just going to have one or two stories. So I asked Jenny if you could just come up. And Dean, where are you? You have to just smooth your hair down and come down, Dean. All right, yeah. Just tell you a little story.
After Kevin's last sermon, which was a couple of weeks ago, he talked about praying for people sort of spontaneously in the moment, as it were. And I went to Carlisle the next day, and rather early in the morning. But I saw a homeless guy sitting on the pavement in Carlisle, and I walked past him, and I thought, no, that is not okay. So I went back, and I asked if I could buy him something to eat and drink, which I then did. Went back to him and said, can I pray with you? And he said, yes. So I sat on the pavement with him and prayed with him, and he cried copiously, and I was struggling not to cry. It was really moving, actually. And then I was able to tell him about a church in Carlisle that I know does a meal bank, so where he could go and get a hot meal, and they could point him in the direction of other services if he wanted them. But it was just a real blessing. So I was a bit apprehensive when Kevin was preaching this morning that Jesus would challenge me again in a different and bigger way. But actually, I hope he does, because it was really exciting and a huge blessing to me. Mm. Yeah, so...
Right, very good. This is what I would call the public face of Jesus, you know, the street face of Jesus. I'm going to get Dean to tell the story in a second, because we'll save the best to last. Which is yours, all right? Yours is the topper. Your story is the good one, so just hold on. I'll just tell you mine, which is just a little incidental thing. I had an impression last Saturday. I was supposed to be doing some work at Neil's house because he was away, and I thought I'd go in and help myself. And I just had an impression that I should come into Hexham first and go to Costa's, and there was somebody to pray for. Now, Costa's on 4th Street, so I did. I came down and went in there, and actually nothing happened. Nobody came, but I had a very nice... Mocha Cortado, which was rather nice. That's where I went wrong, isn't it? And was it the northeast? So I then just came along 4th Street. I had a little word with Violet, the Romanian lady who sells the big issue, who's a Christian, by the way. But she's a lovely lady if you talk to her. And just at that second, having finished talk to her, steady Carol, this woman approached me, made a beeline for me, and she was probably late 60s, I think, and her issue was that she was campaigning for this vote in to stay in Europe, you know? So we had this discussion as I was walking up the street. We had a discussion, and she kept walking with me. She was keen, and which was fine, because I've done that to people in the past. So that was all right. We got as far as Beals, and I said, you're going to walk to the end of the street before we finish this conversation. That was quite a bit for her to do that. She said, no, I'm going to stop here. And we sort of had one or two more little sort of to's and fro's, nicely, sort of just some reasonable points on both sides, I think. And she was fine. And then I said, right, you've asked me lots of questions, can I ask you one question? And it was just a simple question. I said, if there's one miracle that God could do for you and I could pray for, what would it be? And she said, actually, I'm an atheist. And I said, well, think about it, if there's one miracle that God could do. And what she said was funny, actually, or weird. She said, fairly quickly, a good death. but, you know, as you get older, you know, it's this thing you start to think about, because we don't last forever. And I guess this is something that's on her mind. And she put my hand on it, but she obviously just wasn't going to have me pray for her on the street, and that was fine. And she said, I'll pray for you that you have a good death and that you know where you're going. And I have prayed for her. So, which is, you know, I pray that when she gets to that point that it's sorted and she knows where she's going. Now, I don't know. I could have handled that better. Perhaps I could have done other things. I could have engaged with it more or whatever. I don't know quite what God's about, but maybe he's just wanted to stir something in her to think, all right? And that's just a little thing. Now, Dean's is a bit of a good one, I think. Awesome, is it?
That's awesome. Awesome. Everything's awesome. I was at the gym, because as you can tell, I do work out a lot. So after the gym, me and my buddy, Connor, we was like, oh, we get going. But then I heard a woman behind the instructor said, oh, tell all the lads she's got a bad knee. So I was like, oh, I'm going to pray for her before I get my workout done. So before I said, oh, I'm going to pray for her, he was like, okay. So then we walked down, and she was talking to another lad, like trying to move it, so it must have been still in pain. And I said, excuse me, love. I said, you got a bad knee? She said, yeah. I said, can I pray for you? She said, oh, you're the Christian. She was like, I prayed. She wanted to come round, but I said, no, sit back. And so I grabbed her feet. Not because one of her feet was like so like that, her legs were like that. And so I heard in my heart she had a bad back, but I didn't tell her that. So I prayed for her, and she got up, and she was like moving about. She was like telling the other lads, oh, it actually worked, you know. It's actually worked. And I was like, yeah, because you're amazing and Jesus loves you. So I was like, when I was hearing her saying my legs in pain, I wasn't like saying, I'm going to heal her. Jesus is going, you're going to heal her. I was just thinking, well, man, Jesus, you love her so much because you die for her. I'm not like crying because she's in pain. I'm crying and sad because Jesus paid a price for her. And we need to tell him. We need to tell people about how much Jesus paid a price for this girl. And she was just like, oh, thank you. And I was just saying, thank you. Jesus thinks you're amazing and he loves you. So it's pretty cool, isn't it? It's pretty cool. Jesus is awesome.
Thank you. Is this fresh, by the way? Does anybody know? Yeah. I can drink poison and not die, yeah. Right. The point of this is that the fields are white, ready for harvest now, you know? And I think some of us have believed that they're not, they're nowhere near, and that what we have to do is just keep sowing blindly and hope that something might sprout one of these days, and actually the fields are ready. There are all kinds of things, I think, as Christians, this is another time for another time, perhaps, that we believe that we have to do before people can get saved. All kinds of some weird stuff and all stuff. And you know, the truth is that a lot of people are ready. Some people aren't, but that's fine. Didn't say that everybody was ready, but there are a lot that are. The next slide, please. So I'm just going to ask you, we've got a cross there, which is for tonight, which I don't know what's going to happen with it tonight, but we'll find out. But, sorry? Neil doesn't know, and he's leading the meeting tonight. I'm asking you, what was the cross for? Did Jesus just die to get you into heaven? Is that what it's for? Okay, can we put next slide? See, Jesus died to get heaven into you, which is a different thing altogether. He died to get heaven into you. And when heaven is in you and you see a homeless person on the street, you'll give them some food and you'll pray for them. All right? When you see a woman who's got a bad back, you'll pray for her. When you hear God saying something, you'll do it. That's what it's about. So the question is for us, what are we, and I put you, and really I need to say we, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with the fact that Jesus died to get heaven into us? That public face of Jesus needs to come out. See, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit for? And I've grown up in church where the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm sad to say, have been for us, for use in here. What's the prophetic word for? Okay, it's for use in here, but it's for use outside as well. You know, God's shown me something about you. God's telling me something. That's what it's for. What's the gift of healing for? What's the words of knowledge and wisdom for? Okay, they're in here as well. But it's for outside. I often think it's easier for non-Christians to be healed outside than it is for Christians to get healed in here. All right? And we get disappointed about that, don't we? And we just need to stop being disappointed. And I think if we sort of got out and spread a bit of it outside, we might find we get healed in here a bit easier. You know? We need to be intentional with the gospel outside. We are starting to be intentional with the gospel inside. And I'll mention these at the end. And I'll just put one there to remind me. But the old model of having a big church and hoping that people will see it and will come and get saved doesn't work, by and large. All right? But people are there waiting to hear. And what they don't just want to be convinced. They don't just want to have a nice argument presented that will turn their way of thinking around. They need to encounter the power of God in some way. All right? And that's what makes a difference. Next slide, please. Is that it? Right. Okay. In that case, we'll just go on to this. I've got a few things jotted down in here. We know that this, you can turn the screen off if you want, it's a distraction. We know about the cross and we know what God's done for us. We know that all this is true, but sometimes we just don't know how true it is. You know what I mean? We know it's true, we know the truth of it, but we actually don't know how true it really is until we begin to move out a little bit. We've seen it just inside church. We've seen it work with CAP, haven't we? All right? Judith, out of all the people that you meet in the course of CAP and pray for, how many people say they don't want to be prayed for? Very rare. All right? Very rare. We've seen people get saved through CAP. This stuff is true, all right? Inside the church, we need to see it happening more with my time. We need to see it happening with Messy Church. And it just struck me, you know, with Messy Church, you've got people coming every month or whatever, and they're coming into a church and they're listening to church stuff. Is that a clue that they might be ready to hear something else or to see something else? Or just to, you know, do we need to be looking for opportunities? And I appreciate for some of us this is a really big hurdle to get over, and for me it was a really big hurdle. What will people say? What will they think of me? What happens if I get it wrong? And actually, you know, as you get older, it's probably less important. And Joey, don't you dare repeat that against me. Or you, Mike. I'm watching you. But really, you know, we have got a limited time. And we've got to use it. And actually, I may have more time than a lot of you. Who knows? You know? It's funny how we all think we're immortal when we're young. It wears off. So, you know, so what if I get it wrong sometimes? Like Jenny said, that just the sheer pleasure of serving Jesus and seeing that work is worth somebody saying, thanks for the food and don't pray with me, isn't it? Yeah. So we need to be looking for opportunities. You know, can I pray with you? When somebody says something. If God could do one miracle in your life, what would it be? Good question to ask. And you'll get an answer. Win the lottery. the cap lady I prayed with when we did decorating, I said, if God could do a miracle, she said, win the lottery. And I said, right, well, we'll just pray that God will bless you and that it will provide for your needs and so on. Which is fine. She was happy with that. She was being a bit facetious with the lottery. Just to go back to sort of messy church and my time and the other things we're involved in, the job club and so on, we're doing Alpha soon, and Neil's probably going to talk a little bit more as time goes. He might even be mentioning it today, I don't know, about the Alpha. And his heart is to see these different groups having a table of people have invited, you know? There's an opportunity there. And people might say no, but they might say yes. All right? Tony said yes, didn't he? Years ago, eventually. And look at him now. I was just thinking about tonight, and Neil doesn't know what's happening tonight, so I don't know what's happening tonight. I know it's about going deeper and about worshipping God, and we're going to come back and look at these prophetic words that God's given us about the river and so on. We went to Neil's daughter Leanne's house yesterday. Guys, I'm sorry to tell you, but Leanne, for her birthday, got a hot tub. I don't want to set any precedents here. And I've forgotten where I was going with that. Oh, yes, the river, yes. The river is not some long hot tub for us to splash around in and have fun, you know? The whole thing of God saying a river and you want to get in it deeper and deeper and deeper, it's not so we can have a better swim. The further we are in with God, the more people we can influence. The more of a heart we have to reach the lost and to touch them. The more motivated we are just to reach out. The more keen we are to say, what are you saying today? I had this funny thing. I mean, this cracked me up for days. I haven't said this to anybody. But just one morning in the bathroom, I just, and it was before a Sunday morning, and I just said sort of lightheartedly and half out loud, so what are you going to do today, Jesus? And I was thinking about in here, you know? And I was just, you know, I've said this before, how the things in your head before you've thought of it. He said, actually, I've got quite a lot on today. And I just cracked me up. I just thought it was so funny. But true, you know. He's got quite a lot on. And what are we, you know, what part are we going to play in that? It's probably time to wrap this up. So one of the things tonight, maybe we need to be praying for boldness, you know, or seeing this whole thing of going deeper with God as what's going to happen, what we're going to do with that, you know. Get heaven into me, then what, you know, not just to go out and feel chirpy for Monday. More than that, what's God wants to do this week? And you know, when they prayed for boldness in the Bible, they prayed for boldness because they're in danger of getting locked up and whipped, which is quite not what's going to happen to us at the minute, is it? Not really. All right. But maybe tonight we could use some of that time, I don't know, just to seek God about, just to pray for some kind of... I need a boot up the backside, actually. That's what I needed, and that's what I got. God spoke to me quite clearly when I was in Ireland, you know. Come on. This stuff's true, what are you going to do about it, you know? Final thing then, just before we close, and Neil's going to just come now and try and wrap this mess together somehow. We've got these books on here, and if there's anybody here who's just hearing this and thinking, actually, you know, I don't know Jesus, not like that, not like you're talking about. It's interesting, you know, you may have been in church for years. You may have done this and that. And may have just thought that by association, somehow you're a Christian. But you don't actually know him yet. You don't know him. You don't know that he knows you. You know, when he said to Mary after the resurrection, he spoke to her and he just said her name. He said, Mary. And that turned her heart. And she knew that he knew her. You haven't had him speak to you that you know that he knows you. All right? If you want, just come get one of these books. If you've got one of these books and you're happy, we'll just go through this with you. We'll pray with you. All right? Because now is the time, now is the day of salvation. It's always the day. Today's the day. All right? For the rest of us, tomorrow might be the day for somebody else that we come across. Or tomorrow might be the first step in a process for somebody we come across, like the lady who wants a good death, you know? Who knows where it ends? Okay? So, let's just go for it.